Shabbos Daf Kuf Chaf Zayin. Yesterday we began the 18th perek of Maseches Shabbos. Here, in the beginning of the 18th perek, the Mishnah takes on the topic of Tircha Yisera, and that means to say that the Chachamim wanted us to make sure that we would rest on Shabbos, even without violating a malacha, and even without violating any formal Isser D'Rabbanan, but still, one could spend a Shabbos schlepping things from here and there, and miss out on Menucha Shabbos. And so the Chachamim made sure that even if we are schlepping, and even if we're schlepping for a good reason, but still there is going to be a cap of how much we could schlep on Shabbos. Now, admittedly, as we pointed out yesterday, this is a hard halacha to try to quantify, meaning how much schlepping is too much schlepping, but nevertheless, the Chachamim gave parameters in which one would be in violation of this idea of Tircha Yisera if, in fact, they are schlepping too much. And so, even though the person has not only good intentions, but a mitzvah opportunity. The Mishnah gave two examples yesterday of two mitzvahs, hachnasas orchim, inviting guests in, bitul beis hamedrash, there's a shir that needs to take place, and so I need the room. In order to have either one of those mitzvahs, the Mishnah says, still there's going to be a cap of how much schlepping can be done. What did the Mishnah teach us yesterday? That one can go ahead and clear out four or five boxes. The Mishnah then points out, avalois ha'otzar, but you can't make an otzar. So, a lot of this needs to be clarified. And as we begin with the Gemara now, we're going to clarify a lot of these points in the Mishnah. We're going to be clarifying the first point of the Mishnah. And that is that now I have a storehouse and I need to make room and I could take out four or five boxes. The question now becomes obvious as we start with the Gemara. Hasha chamish mefanam arbe mibai. If I could take out five boxes, I could certainly take out four boxes. And why would the Mishnah have to say you could take out four to five boxes? Give me the maximum. Tell me I could take out five boxes. That should be enough. The Gemara is going to have two approaches to this. We start with Rav Chista. Am Rav Chista arba mechamesh vechamesh meotzer gadol. Rav Chista's explanation is predicated on the fact that the Mishnah really is speaking about two different scenarios. Scenario number one is where the store is very small, and the store is the area is only five boxes worth. So I go in there, and in theory, I could take out all five boxes. However, here, what the Mishnah is telling me is don't take out all five boxes. Take out only four of the five boxes, because what you don't want to do, and this is Rashi's explanation, is you don't want to clear out the entire area. If I were to clear out the entire area, I will possibly notice an unevenness of the floor, and I'm going to want to level the floor and be in violation of the Malach of Bona. So, under these circumstances where the store is really small and there are only five boxes, so then only pull out four of the five boxes. That's scenario number one. Scenario number two is Chamesh Meotzer Gadol. Let's say the store is really big, and the area is much greater than five boxes. By the way, the box is going to be a standard measurement. We're going to speak a little bit more about that later in the daf. But let's say the area of the store is much greater than five boxes. So now here we're going to have the hard cap. And the hard cap is you cannot take out more than five boxes. Those are the two scenarios of the Mishnah, as explained by Rav Chista. Umay avalois ha'otzar, but continuing now in the Mishnah. So what does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah says that you cannot do it, you cannot make an otzar? What it means to say is that I cannot start this project on Shabbos itself. Umani Rav Yehudahi Disay Muksa, and this subscribes to the viewpoint of Rav Yehuda, who subscribes to Muksa. To explain this a little bit better, what Rav Chista means is the following. If under the circumstances where all this grain and all the straw was put into the store before Shabbos as merchandise, meaning it was stored over there. So that means to say that I didn't think in my mind that we were going to make usage of it, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it falls into the category of muksa. Even though it's edible, even though it's straw, which can be eaten by the animal, or even if it's tfua, which can be eaten by humans, and it's non-muksa, but if it was put into the store as storage, as merchandise, so according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who has a much wider definition of muksa, this falls under the category of muksa. So now there's no longer a tircha issue, now there's simply a muksa issue. If we did not start clearing it before Shabbos, so that means to say that this is merchandise that is not set aside for Shabbos, and so therefore falls under the category of muksa, and that's what the Mishnah is teaching us according to Rav Chista. All this now is our first approach of the Mishnah, and that is Shitas Rav Chista, and that's his understanding. Shmuel Amar, as we are now in the last line, Arba v'chamesh kedamri inshi. So Shmuel says, no, four or five is basically the way people talk. In other words, how many boxes can you take out? About four or five. V'ibai afilu tuvanami mefanim. Truth of the matter is you could take out more than four or five. Four or five is just simply a recommendation, but the truth of the matter is that more could be taken out. So afilu tuvanami mefanim. Mamai valo asa osar shalo yigmar kulo. And now, as long as we've learned together now that according to Shmuel's interpretation of the Mishnah, really you could take out 4, 5, 6, 7, so then what? Where's the cap? The cap is going to be that I can't clear it out. And now, Shelo Yigmar Kulo Dilma Asiya Shvu Gumos. So, because the reason why is we already explained in the sheet of Rav Chista, but now this is within the sheet of Rav Shmuel, and that is to say that if I were to take out all of the boxes, I would notice an unevenness of the floor, and I may come and level the floor and be in violation of the Malach of Bona. Aval Aschule Maschil. Now, as far as starting it off, meaning according to Shmuel, there's another major difference between Shmuel's understanding of the Mishnah and Rav Chista. And that is, according to Shmuel, even though this project was not started before Shabbos, nevertheless, this merchandise can be moved on Shabbos itself. Why? Because Umani Reb Shimon he delays le muksa. Because according to Shmuel, our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon has a much narrower scope of what is included in muksa. Even though the grain and the straw that was put into the storage house was earmarked as merchandise, but according to Rabbi Shimon, that does not mean that it's muksa. It means that it still is something which is usable on Shabbos. And you could make use of it on Shabbos, and you can move it even on Shabbos. And that's the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. And our Mishnah subscribes to the idea of Rabbi Shimon. So the only limitation of the Mishnah, according to Shmuel, is that you just simply can't clear it out. But short of that, you can move almost all the boxes out of there. And even if you didn't start before Shabbos, you could do it on Shabbos, because according to Shmuel, our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. Tana Rabbanan, we are continuing. We are on the top of Kuf Chav Zayin Amid Aleph. About 5 lines from the top, Tanu Rabbanan, Imaskilim ba'otzer tchila ba'osa ba'oshvil kadeish shikanes v'yetze. The Braisa says that you cannot go and start clearing out the otzer from the beginning on Shabbos, meaning the author of this Braisa clearly represents the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. But what you can do is you can make a pathway through so the person go in and out. Now the Gemara says, wait 1 second, I am confused by this Braisa. Osa ba'oshvil, now you're making a pathway to go in and out. How are you making a pathway? V'hamar de matrilin. Meaning clearly the author of this braisa subscribes to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who subscribes to muksa, which means to say that I can't pick up the boxes and I can't move the boxes. And if that's true, so what's the difference between picking up a box and making a pathway through? Hachi kama, the Gemara says, no, this is what's meant. Oseh boshvil b'raglav b'chnisaso v'tziaso. What you can do is you can make a pathway with your feet. Now, why is it that even if I'm subscribing to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who subscribes to muksa, but what I'm allowed to do is make a pathway through my feet? So let's take a look at Rashi over here. Really critical Rashi. Rashi 3 lines down. Baraglo, mefana baraglo. You're going to clear it with your legs. Lekan ulekan, derech alichaso. So Rashi says as you're walking, you just simply push it away with your feet. Delo havi tiltu, because Rashi says, because that's not tiltu. Now, what does Rashi mean by this? So, certainly a big topic and a big discussion. I'm just going to highlight some of the possibilities in terms of what Rashi means. One possibility of what Rashi means is that when it comes to the general gezerah of moksa, so what the Chachamim banned us from doing is picking something up with our hands and moving something with our hands. But moving something with other body parts may not at all be a violation of moksa, meaning moksa just simply may be limited to the hands but not to the feet. And that's certainly a big chiddush within Rashi, but that's a possibility in terms of what Rashi means. And meaning if you look back at the Gemara says, even though we're subscribing to Rabbi Yehuda, but what you can do is osa boshvil biraglav. You can do it with your feet. And so one way to understand it is that just simply there is no gzera of muksa as it relates to one's feet. So if you want to push something away with your feet on Shabbos, a muksa item, so you may do so. That is a way to understand Rashi. Although, that's admittedly a big chiddush. Another way to possibly understand Rashi is similar to what we learned the other day. It's lufi tumo. Meaning, as you're walking, so it's not an intentional moving. In other words, you're just simply trying to get from point A to point B. And yes, something is going to obstruct your path, and you're going to have to go through that in order to get from point A to point B. And it could be that this is more in the category of misasik. That's a more tempered way to understand Rashi. Anyway, but what comes out over here is that even though this braisa subscribes to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who subscribes to muksa, but nevertheless walking through and making a path as you're walking through would be okay, and we discussed the possibilities of what Rashi meant in terms of that there is no tilting when you're doing it with your feet. Tanu Rabbanan, continuing now in the Gemara, Tvur Tzavura, Bizman Sheyes Chulbam, Me'er Shabbos Mutter, Li Stapik Me'mena B'Shabbos. So if I have this grain that was piled up before Shabbos, that means to say that it was basically merchandise. So if I started clearing it before Shabbos, so then you can go ahead and continue clearing on Shabbos. V'im lav asuli stopping women of a Shabbos. But if you didn't start before Shabbos, then you can't start on Shabbos. Now the Braisa is going to confuse us for just a moment, Because then the Braisa says, Divrei Rabbi Shimon, this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Acha Matir. And Rabbi Acha says it would be Mutter. Now, from what we know about Muksa, so the Braisa obviously is confusing. In fact, it seems to be just the opposite. Kapelaya. And the Gemara says exactly that, just the other way. Ela'ema Divrei Rabbi Acha Rabbi Shimon Matir. So we're just going to make a quick edit of the Braisa. The Braisa actually meant to have said that the opinion that's Machmir is Rabbi Acha. Why doesn't the Braisa say Rabbi Yehuda? I don't know. But Rabbi Acha is Machmir and Rabbi Shimon is Mekel, and that conforms with what we know regarding the Shitas of Rabbi Shimon in general when it comes to Muksa. Tana, Gemara teaches us another Braisa, Kamashir Tzibura Tzibura Lesach. How much grain are we talking about in order for the grain to be considered storage? Meaning, at what point in time do we say that the grain was reserved as storage, and if I subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, so then it would be muksa. So the Gemara says it is a lesach. A lesach is a half of a kor. A half of a kor comes out to 15 sa'a. So 15 sa'a, so now if we go back to the Mishnah, we look at the boxes. So basically what we're looking at is that the boxes, a full clearing of the boxes would be 5 boxes. If we're assuming now that the full amount is 15, so basically the math would tell us that it would be 3 sa'a per box. The Gemara basically is going to repeat the same limud, but this is between different Amarayim. So one asks from Abaye, how much are we talking about when we say a pile of grain that was piled before Shabbos at the point now where it's going to be a muksa concern? So he said the amount is going to be a lesach, a half a kor, 15 sa, just like what we said. So the Gemara says, okay, now when we're talking about clearing the area. So again, how much are we clearing? So there are two shitas in terms of how to understand the Mishnah. But if we could just say it simply, it's going to be 4 or 5. Okay, and again, according to Rav Chista, it's 2 different scenarios. According to Shmuel, it's 1 scenario. But for us to now just say it simply, it's going to be 4 or 5 boxes. So in the movement of these 4 or 5 boxes, the Gemara now takes 2 considerations, two possibilities. One, the arba v'chamish kupas in tfeilo. In other words, what you're supposed to do is load up these boxes, and the maximum each one of them can hold is 3 saw, as we just pointed out. But in other words, the chachamim do not want us moving more than 4 or 5 boxes. So in terms of the tircha yisera, the biggest consideration is to limit the number of steps that we take on Shabbos. That's one possibility. Take as many trips as you want, but take it in smaller loads. So that means to say that in terms of the weight that we're actually going to be taking, it's going to weigh less. We're just going to simply make more trips. So in our attempt to understand Tircha Yisera and the Chachamim's interest in us reducing the amount of exertion that we put in Shabbos, what really do they want in terms of a reduction? Do they want us to reduce in terms of the number of steps that we take or the amount of weight that we're pulling? Tashma de nichada. So the Gemara says, well, let's try to construct an answer based on the following. We have a braisa. Mefanim afilo arba v'chamish kupo shel kadayayin v'shel kadei, shel kadei shemen v'shel kadayayin. So one braisa tells us that one can move 4 or 5 boxes made up of jugs of oil and wine. V'tanya idach, now we have another braisa, be'eser v'chamesh esrei. Another braisa says that one is going to be moving 10 or 15. Now, that obviously is some discrepancy. So my love, b'ha kamiflegi. So the Gemara suggests now that I think I understand the machlokas. Mar savra miyuta b'hilucha adif, or mar savra miyuta b'masui adif. So maybe over here the discrepancy between these two braisas is the following. The braisa that says 4 or 5, meaning 4 or 5 trips and no more than 4 or 5 trips. And that braisa is reflecting the viewpoint that what the Chachamim want us to do is to reduce the number of steps that we take. The second braisa says, no, make as many trips as you can, even though it's going to come out that I'm going to be making 2 or 3 times more trips. But nevertheless, the second braisa is coming to teach us that more trips but less weight. And maybe that's what the Chachamim want us to do in terms of reducing our exertion. So, okay, it's a good suggestion, but the Gemara says, but there's another way to explain the discrepancy between these two braises. So the Gemara says, no, really both braises are reflecting the viewpoint that fewer steps is what the Chachamim want us to do. Now, you thought that the second braise was talking about the number of boxes. The Gemara says that's not correct. It's going on the number of jugs. Velokasha hamishtakli chad chad bekupa v'handi mishtakli trei trei v'handi mishtakli tlasa tlasa uvedikur darpanya. The Gemara just simply says, look, there are big jugs, there are little jugs. Sometimes the jugs are so big that you can only fit one jug per box. Sometimes the jugs are smaller, you could put two jugs in a box. Sometimes the jugs are even smaller. The Gemara describes it as dekunya, dekure daharpanya. Okay, common jugs, the small jugs that were popular back then. Anyway, so you can sometimes put one jug in a box, two jugs in a box, three jugs in the box. And the Braisa is just simply saying, if I can only fit one jug in a box, they're so big, so then you can only take out five jugs, meaning five boxes. If I could put two jugs in a box, so then put two in a box and take out now a total of 10, five boxes times two. Same thing now if I had three jugs that could fit into a box, so that's five boxes, three jugs each, 15. The Gemara says that's a way we can understand the Braisa, and if that's the correct way to understand the Braisa, it doesn't inform us whatsoever in terms of Tirchi Yaseira, whether the Chachamim one is taking less steps or carrying less weight. Gemara's next question over here, next follow-up question regarding the removal of four or five boxes. Is this four or five, is this a total number? Or is this going to be per capita? In other words, is each new guest that comes in, I get to now take out four or five boxes for that new guest. And let's assume that it's going to be four or five per guest. So the Gemara says, does that mean that one person takes them all out? Or does that mean that each guest takes out another four or five boxes? Tashma. The Amar Rabba Amar Bichia Pamachas Halach Rebbe Lamakom Echad. One time Rebbe went to location V'ra'a Makom Dachuk L'Talmidim, and he saw that there was just simply not enough room for the students there. The Yatzal Asadim went out to the field of Matzah Sadim Aleya Omrim, and he found a field that was filled with sheaves. V'Imer Rebbe Kol Asadim Kula. Rebbe cleared out the entire field. And before we analyze, let's just keep going. The Rav Yosef Amar Rav Yoshi Apamachas Halach Rabbi Chila Makom Echad. One time Rabbi Yoshi went to a place, Vira Makom Dachuk LaTalmidim, and once again he also saw a place that was really crowded, V'yatzal Asada, and he went out to the field of Matzah Sada Malaya Omrim, and he found a field filled with sheaves, V'imer Rabbi Chila Kol Asada Kulo, and Rabbi Chila also removed all the sheaves from the field. So Shema Mina Akol Lefiya Orchin. So the Gemara says, fine. So first of all, what we see over here is that the four or five is not a total, that is per capita, because over here, obviously, if you're clearing out a whole field, so you're going to be moving much more than four or five boxes worth, so it must be that four or five is per capita. So the Gemara says that we clearly see. But still, the second part of the question, our second question is, are we going to have one person doing all that work, or is each person going to have to be clearing his own space? Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. V'imer Rebbe. So the Gemara says that Rebbe was the one who cleared it. Meaning we had two stories back to back. One was with Rebbe, and the other one was Rebbe Chia. But in the first story, it said that Rebbe cleared it. And the second story, it said that Rebbe Chia cleared it. But anyway, so the Gemara wants to, right now, just read it super literally. It was Rebbe who did the work. And the Gemara says, it can't be. Ulatameh Rebbe b'nafshe imer. The Gemara says, because there's no way. In other words, Rebbe by himself did the work. The way Rashi understands the question over here, I can't imagine Rebbe being the Nasi, and he's the one who's going to be doing the work. In other words, as being the head of the Jewish people, as being the Nasi, so there are certain things that a Nasi cannot do publicly. If he wants to work in his own home privately, so fine. But in other words, it is beneath him as the head of state to go ahead and to do work publicly in front of other people. So the Gemara says that what the way we have to understand the story is that he instructed others to clear it, and that means that everyone cleared their own space. One of the questions that stand out from the Gemara over here, which the Gemara really doesn't tackle, is that in order to make room for the shir to take place in two of these incidents, in both of these incidents, both with Rebbe and Rebbe Chia, is that they had to go out to the field, and there were sheaves that were piled in the field, and they had to clear the sheaves. Now, that obviously is difficult because we learned back in the seventh parak of Maseches Shabbos, of the 39 malachos, one of the 39 malachos is none other than Ma'amir. Ma'amir is that basically when I have the fruit out in the field, so one is not allowed to go ahead and to collect the fruit. That's one of the 39 malachos. So it is difficult, and the language of the Gemara over here is rather amazing, because it says that Rebbe was Ma'amir. Now, we understand that to mean that he didn't do it himself, but instructed others to do it, but it doesn't help us, meaning if Ma'amir is one of the 39 malachas, so how can Rebbe be involved in the act of Ma'amir? So obviously, it definitely requires some sort of answer. It's just so interesting that the Gemara itself doesn't pick up on that. But there has to be, you have to say something along the lines of maybe in the Amir is only by produce, and maybe we're talking over here about sheaves. There has to be some response to it, but it's certainly a something that's glaring from the story. Anyway, we have now concluded our first part of the shiur today in terms of a better understanding of the Mishnah. The Mishnah wants us to reduce the amount of exertion, how much can be taken out of the storehouse in order to make room for either the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim or for the mitzvah of Beis HaMedrash, of Tamat Torah. And then the follow-up questions of how do you understand the Mishnah when the Mishnah says four or five, in terms of when is it considered storage? Is our Mishnah subscribing to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon regarding the issues of Muksa? Are we to say that four or five is the total amount that you can remove, or is that per capita? And when removing the four or five, is one person going to be removing it all, or is each person going to be removing his own space? So these are the various topics that were covered since the Mishnah. The Gemara now is going to be addressing the reasons why one is allowed to clear. So again, aside from the Muksa issues, there are really the Tirchi Yaseira. The Chachamim wanted us to make sure that we did not overexert ourselves, and therefore, only when there is a mitzvah opportunity, the Mishnah only gives two examples over here of mitzvah opportunities. Hard to imagine, just thinking out loud, that we're limited to only these two mitzvah opportunities, but obviously the Mishnah wants to give significance to these particular mitzvahs, especially on Shabbos, so one is allowed to be involved in this tircha, just not tircha yaseira. The first Mishnah mentioned, the first mitzvah mentioned in the Mishnah is mipnei ha'orchim, because of the guests. Am Rav Yochanan gedola hachnasas orchim kashkamas beis ha'medrash. So Rav Yochanan says, look, the fact that the Mishnah chooses these two Mishnahs and puts them side by side, Rav Yochanan says that hachnasas orchim, inviting guests into your house, is as significant, is as great as Talmud Torah. Diktanim mipnei ha'orchim mipnei bitul beis ha'medrash. Look at our Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah put these two mitzvahs side by side. V'Rabdini min Arda Amra Yoser me'ashkamas beis ha'medrash. So Rabdini takes this point and actually amplifies the point, and that is that Hachnasas Orchim is even greater than the beis medrash. Diktan mipnei Orchim v'Hadar umipnei bitul beis ha'medrash. Look at the order of the Mishnah, and according to Rabdini, the order becomes significant in terms of giving us a hierarchy of which one is more valuable than the next. So this is a Gemara that we already saw back in Shavuos, but now we get to see it again here in Masechet Shabbos. And that is that the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim is so significant, it's even greater than having a one-on-one with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Dichziv. And how do I know this? We go back to Avram Avinu in the beginning of Parshas Vayera. Vayomer Hashem, imna matzasichem be'necha al nasavor. So he sees the guests, he's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could you please hold on for a moment while I take care of Achnasas Orchim? Now the Gemara in Shavuos goes into more detail because there are two different ways to read the Pasuk over here in terms of who he was addressing, but our Gemara over here in Shabbos gives a very simple and one approach to the Pasuk, and that's he's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hold for just a moment while I do Achnasas Orchim. And let's now note the differences between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and people. So you can't do that. In other words, in our world that we live in, so a katan cannot say to the gadol, hey, just hold on for just a moment. And meanwhile, Avram is able to say that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the understanding that what he's about to do is a mitzvah, which was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he's allowed to say that. But meanwhile, there are the obvious contrast between what is appropriate to be done from in our world versus what a person can say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm Rav Yehuda Rashi, I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rav Yochanan, Shisha Dvarim Adam Ochel Perasim, Balam Azeba, Karen Kayemes Lo'olam Haba. There are six things that a person enjoys in this world where basically he can both enjoy the principle of it for Olam Haba, and on top of that, any of the dividends, so to say, that comes off of the mitzvah, a person can enjoy in this world as well. And they are Hachnasas Orchim, Bikur Cholim, Iyun Tefillah, Hashkamas Beis HaMedrash, Shemagad Labana L'Talmud Torah, V'Adanis Chaver L'Kafzchus. So let's just quickly run through the six. The first one is inviting guests into your house. Number two, visiting the sick. Number three, Iyun Tefillah. We just discussed Iyun Tefillah not so long ago in the daf. Iyun Tefillah sometimes has a positive connotation, sometimes a negative connotation. You remember Tosos back on Kuf Yud Chesam and Beis has the different points in time where it's sometimes positive, sometimes negative. Clearly in our Gemara over here, Tosos makes this point back on Kuf Yud Chesam and Beis that this is a positive connotation. Iyun Tvila over here meaning to say that you are having Kavana in your davening. Number four is Hashkamas Beis HaMidrash, waking up early to go learn Torah. Megadol Banal Latam Torah, teaching your children, raising your children in the Derech HaTorah. And number six is Adanas Chaver Lekav Zchus, judging other people favorably. So these are six areas in which a person can enjoy Keren Kayemus Olam Haba. The principle of the mitzvah stays for you for Olam Haba, but the Peros are enjoying this world as well. The Gemara says Ini V'Hanan Tanan. The Gemara says, on the other hand, however, we do have another. We have another Mishnah. Now this list over here, we're going to compare the two lists. In the second list, and they are so the Mishnah over here talks about four mitzvahs. Number one, the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Number two, the mitzvah of gemilas chasadim, just doing good to others. Number three, making sure that there's shalom between people. And number four, Talmud Torah. So, what the Gemara is bothered by is that these lists seem to be offset of one another. And is it, in fact, the case that these two lists are arguing with one another? Hani in, we're just reading the bottom line. Hani in, Midiach Rini Lo. It seems like only these, but not what we mentioned previously. But Hani Nami, the Gemara says, now as we turn to the Amud Beis, Behani Shaychi, skipping the parentheses, Behani Shaychi. And the Gemara just basically says, look, the two lists can be synthesized. Take a look at the two lists, or compare the two, and what you can do is you can incorporate one list into the other list. And Rashi goes through all the work in terms of incorporation, in terms of synthesizing. Take a look at the top Rashi over here on the Amud Beis, Achnasas Orchim Bikur Cholim. So, first of all, Rashi says, inviting guests in and visiting the sick, that's part of Gemilas Chasadim. Now the next part that intuitively we could have done that as well. Next part of Rashi is certainly a chiddush. Iyun tefila, hainu bichlal gemilas chasadim. So having proper kavan in your davening, so that falls into the category of gemilas chasadim. Now in terms of svaro, so admittedly I'm going to be challenged in terms of explaining it, but in terms of psukim, Rashi says we have psukim that speak to this idea. Dichsiv, pasuk and mishle, gomel nafsho ish chesed. A person is gomel his nefesh, he gives over his soul, so that can consider an ish chesed. So you see that having the proper kavanas in tefillah is also a function of chesed. Hashkamas beis hamedrash v'gidol banim l'tamat Torah, hainu tamat Torah. So Rashi points out that in terms of waking up early and raising your children, so that obviously falls into the category of tamat Torah. Danas kaver l'kav zchus b'chla hava shalom. Making sure that you're judging other people favorably certainly brings about shalom between people. Every time somebody does something which may seem to be hurting me or harming me, and I say, oh no, his intentions were good, or he was an anus, and I'm going to be down the cuffs, I'll judge him favorably, so then there's going to be peace. Good. So, and all Rav Yochanan is doing, says Rashi, is just basically giving examples of what the Mishnah is teaching us, but there is no discrepancy between the lists. One is just simply an amplification of the other. The two lists can be synthesized one with the other. Okay. Continuing now in the Gemara. So we mentioned that of the things that a person will enjoy both in this world and in the world to come will be Dan Lekav Zchus, judging people favorably. And here the Gemara is going to give no less than three different incidents where an opportunity to judge favorably. Tana Rabbanan. So we're going to go through the three incidents and we'll speak a little bit then afterwards in broader terms about judging others favorably. Tana Rabbanan. We start with story number one. Hadan Chaver Lekav Zchus, Dan Lekav Zchus. A person who judges others favorably, he will be judged favorably. Most probably what the intent of the Braisa is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge him favorably. There was a story where a person came from the upper Galil, Viniskar Eitzel Alabayas, Echad, and he needed a job, so he hired himself out, Echad Bedarman, he went to the south, Shalashanim, and he worked for three consecutive years. So you're talking about a long contract work, in other words, it was 3 years of working for somebody else. Erev Yom Kippurim, Amar lo, tain li schari ve'elech ve'ezonos ishti uvanai. So it was Erev Yom Kippur. Now, according to other Gersas, it's Erev Yontif, but either way, in other words, he got to the end of the term of his labor contract, and now he wanted to get paid. And so he went over to his employer and he said, look, I want to get paid. I want to go home and I want to feed my wife and children. Amar lo ein li mos. So at this point in time, the employer said, I had no money. Amar lo tein li peiros. He says, okay, so don't give me cash, so give me fruit. Amar lo ein li. So he says, I don't have any fruit on me. Tein li karka. He says, okay, give me land, give me property, ein li. Which he says, I don't have. Tein li behema, give me animals, ein li. And he says, I don't have that as well. Tein li karmuk sasos, okay. So give me something. Give me pillows. Give me something durable to take home. So ainly. So he says, I don't. Here shall kelav la'acharav. So the worker now took his backpack, put it over his back. V'halach lebeisav b'pachin nefesh, and he went home dejected. La'achar regel nato balabais charo biyadom. Now Yontif came to an end, and the balabais now brought over the following to the worker's house. V'imo masui gimel chamorim. And not only did he bring his wages, but on top of that, he also bring three camels. Echad shemaychal, one was laden with food, ve'echad shemishta, the other was laden with a drink. The echad shemina megadim, and the other one had treats on them. V'halach lebeiso, and he went to the work of, and he went to the house of his employee. Echad she'achal v'shasu, and they ate together, they drank together. Nasan lo scharo, he paid him. Amar lo b'shash amarti li, tein li schari, v'amarti ein li maos, v'amecha shalatani. And so now, after having paid him, he said, okay, let's go back now over right before Yom Kippur, right when you asked me for everything. And I kept saying no to you. So I have to know, what were you thinking? So Amarti Shemei Prak Matia Bezon Nizam Lach L'Kafta Behem. So he said, this is now the employee saying to the employer, here's what I thought. I thought, look, you had an investment opportunity. You had a buying opportunity. And it must have been tremendous. And so your money was all tied up in some sort of venture. Then you asked me for animals, and I didn't have any. What did you think? So he says, okay, I thought you rented out your animals to others. Then you asked me for property, and I simply said to you, I don't have any property. What did you think? He says, your properties were leased out to other people. You asked me for fruit, and I didn't have fruit for you. What did you think? So he says, the peiros were not, you didn't take off chumas and maizros, and that's why you wouldn't give them to me. And then you asked for pillows, and I didn't have any. What did you think? He said, maybe you dedicated all your property, all your other properties to the Beis HaMikdash. So these are all the possibilities, and these are obviously all examples of Dan Lekav Schus, meaning in this opportunity where you could have just simply assumed that the employer was trying to rip him out of not having to pay him, but nevertheless, given all these opportunities, the employee said every single time that this was just simply circumstances that were beyond your control, and that's why you couldn't pay me at the time. Amar Le, to which the employer said, Ha'avada kachayam. So the employer says, you're 100% right. Everything that you speculated in terms of what I did and the fact that you were Dan Lekav Schus, so it's all true, up to and including the part where all my other worldly possessions I donated to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because of my son Horkanus. My son Horkanus wasn't engaged in Torah, and I didn't want him to enjoy any of the Yerusha, so therefore I dedicated it. Now I went to my friends out down in the south. Tiruli called Nidarai. So they were matir my neder. And just like you judge me favorably, Akash Baruch Hu should judge you favorably as well. Icon that takes us to the end of incident number one. Couple of points regarding this incident. Number one, in terms of identities, right? Up until now, we just simply described them as the employer and the employee. So what do we know about the identities of either one of them? Well, we are certainly given a wonderful clue in that we know that the employer had a son of Hyrcanus. So presumably that means that the employer is Rav Elazar ben Hyrcanus. It's fair to speculate. In terms of who the employee is, so the Shiltos makes the observation that the employee over here is Rabbi Akiva. Now, that in of itself is rather amazing. It's Rabbi Akiva at what point in his life? Presumably we're talking about not after he started learning, but before he started learning. which gives us just a small little window into Rabbi Akiva, even before he was learning. So he was not learned, but certainly in terms of Midos, if we're correct about this, if this is the first 40 years, certainly in terms of Midos, you already saw that he had tremendous Midos even before he was learning. So anyway, that's point number one in terms of the identity of who the players were in this story. Just a couple of other things which are certainly interesting. Number one, one of the things that Rabbi Akiva said to Rav Elazar ben Hyrcanus, in terms of what about cash, he said, "Well, I had an opportunity, a capital opportunity, where he had a buying opportunity." So it really touches on a business issue, ethics halacha, and that is that if you know you have to pay an employee, at the same time, you have a possibility of taking that money and really investing and turning it around and making a profit. So is it reasonable to do so? So again, I'm not saying one way or another in terms of halacha, but certainly as an observation, as a simple observation from the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva defended Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus by saying, "Look, I understand you don't have cash because you had a buying opportunity. So that means to say that even though you know you have employers to pay, but at the same time, however, to take certain cash out of the business in order to try to make more business with it, it sounds like from our Gemara that that's okay." And then just one other point, which just it's a thought, and I'm not really sure what to do with it in terms of why not Peros. He said, because then take off Trumas and Maestros. Now that obviously is a little bit difficult, because if the only thing he needs to do in order to give him the fruit is to take off Trumas and Maestros, so okay, so take off Trumas and Maestros and give him the rest of the fruit. Why couldn't that have been addressed? So I'm unsure about that, but certainly something worthwhile to think about. Anyway, we continue now. We're up to story number two. We are halfway down on the Amud, on Kuf, Chav Zayin Amud Beis, the second story of Dan Lekavskos, Tan Rabbanan. Maisa b'chased echad shepada riba achas bas Yisrael. So there was a chassid. Rashi says that whenever the Gemara says the word chassid, so it's one of two candidates in terms of who the chassid could be. Rashi writes over here, the chassid could either be, Rashi writes, it's about a third of the way down in Rashi. Incident with a chassid where he redeemed a girl. She was taken into captivity and he redeemed her and he was bringing her home. So, Bas Yisrael ulamalon hishkiva tachas margalosav. And what happens is that the girl slept in the room of this chassid. Ulamacha yard v'taval. Next morning he went to the mikvah. Vishana Latamidav, and he started teaching his students Torah. Amar. And now, obviously, his behavior was, to say the least, somewhat curious, perhaps a little bit more suspicious. And now he says to the students the following. Vishashi Ishkivda Tachas Margalasai Bamacha Shadatani. Said to the students, "Look, I took her into my room." In other words, when we stopped at the hotel overnight, she stayed in my room. So how did you, what were you thinking? So Amanu Shama Yeshbanu Tamashayna Baduk Larebi. So he says, "Look, the students said, we understand, meaning you are here with a contingency of students. You don't know every one of these students. And so you did not trust the girl with any one of the students per se. So that's why you kept her in your room." Okay, so that's check number one for Dan Lekavskos. So then he asked the question. You notice the next morning I went to the mikvah. So what were you thinking? Amarnu shema mibnei torech aderech irakeri olarebi. They said, "Look, the trip was very long, and it could have been just simply from the strenuous trip that you became a Balkari, and that's why you had a Tovol. Remember back in the day, in order to teach Torah, and the person was a Balkari, you had a Tovol in the mikvah in order to teach Torah." So, Amar lem avodah, kach hayav atem, keshem shedantuni lekavzchus, hamakum yadinus kam lekavzchus. So this is another successful story where the students were judging their Rebbe favorably, even though his behavior was suspicious, but nevertheless they judged him favorably. And so therefore, under those circumstances, you could be down the kafskos. Tana Rabbanan, and here comes the third story. So there was an incident where there needed to be some sort of conversation to be taking place on behalf of the Chachamim. So this was an incident where just a little bit of politicking. And Eitzel Machunusa Achat. And in order to lobby, so they had to go to this matron. The matron over here most probably was involved in activities of ill repute. Shekol gedolei Roman mitzui netzla. So the Gemara says that the Romans went to go visit her. So in other words, this woman had political power and she was engaged in a certain type of occupation. Hamavin yavin. Amru meyelech. So they said, okay, now someone has to talk to her because she has political clout and she is the person to lobby with. And so who's going to speak to her? Amar lehem Rabbi Yeshua, ani elef. So Rabbi Yeshua says, I'll go. Halach Rabbi Yeshua, v'tamidav kevin shigil pesach b'isan. Now Rabbi Yeshua gets to his house. Chalach tefillin b'rachok arba amos. So he took his tefillin off before he arrived, four amos, within her vicinity. V'nichnas v'nal hadals b'fneim. And he went in, he locked the door. Achar shiyata yarad v'tava v'shanal tamidav. And then afterwards he left and he told them the mikvah and then he taught his students. V'amar lehem, and here we go. The story is going to be very similar to the second one. V'shasha chatzit tefillin b'mechash adatuni. I took off my tefillin. What were you thinking? Amarti kesaber Rebbe lo yichnasu divrei kedusha b'makom tumo. So they said, students said, that's very simple. Meaning, obviously to go in their house is a makom tumo, and it's just totally inappropriate to wear tefillin in such a location. V'shasha na'alti b'mechash adatuni. And then I went ahead and I locked the door, and what were you thinking at that point in time? Amarnu Shema Damra Machus Yesh Beino Leveino. So he said, well, you're speaking about things of high political nature, right? Devar Machus, and so this is a kind of private conversation that can't be shared with others. Bishash Yirati Vatavati Bamecha Shalatani. And then meanwhile, I told them in the mikvah, what were you thinking? Amarnu Shema Nitzla Tzinora Mipia Al Begadav Shal Rebbe. So the response was, well, it could very well be that some of the spittle went from her onto you. And Rashi reminds us what we learned back in Masech Nida, and that is that the Chachamim treated all the Nachrios to be like a Zava. And so we know that if the roke of the Zav, the spit of the Zav, were to fall on the person, so that is going to be, if it comes from a Jew, so it's an Avatam, and if it comes from a Nachriya, so as Exera de Rabbanan, now the person is in a state of Tumah. And so he told them the mikvah in order to get rid of that status of being a zava midrabanan. Amar lahem, and his response is avoda kachaya. He says absolutely correct. Va'atem kishem she dantun lizchus hamakom yadin aschem lizchus. And just like you judge me favorably, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should go ahead and judge you favorably as well. Three stories where a person, people, or a group of people in these cases were down the kafschus. The obvious lesson to be learned over here is how critical and how important it is to be down the kafschus. On the other hand, and the Rishonim point this out as well, you'll notice that with all these stories, so all these stories start with a person that already had a good character and had a good reputation. Story number one was with Rav Elazar ben Hyrcanus. Story number two was Maisa b'Chassid Echad. Story number three was with Rabbi Yeshua. So these are people that already started off with a very, very strong reputation. If, let's say, the person does not have a good reputation, so under those circumstances, is there any mitzvah to be down the kafschus? So many of the Rishonim write, no. Under those circumstances, there is no mitzvah to be down the kafschus. Under those circumstances, you have to use common sense. You have to be reasonable. So the person that is allowed this extension of stretching reason just a little bit in order to judge the person favorably are like the episodes that we're dealing with over here. The middle ground is, what if you have a person who's a Beinoni, the person who does not have the strong reputation of the people that we described right now, at the same time, however, also does not have a poor reputation? What if he's a Beinoni? So should you be down the kafschus? So under those circumstances, typically the answer is yes, but unclear in terms of whether or not the down the kafschus stretching should be done the way it was done in these stories over here. Obviously, in the examples that we gave over here, the judgment, the area of judgment, was really extended, really stretched, in order to give these people the benefit of the doubt. So would that kind of extension be allowed for a Beinoni? That part's unclear. Let's quickly recap the daf. We'll stop over here, and tomorrow we'll start with all the machalos asuros and all the muksa topics. In the meantime, however, just to quickly recap, basically a daf today was broken up into two parts. The Amud Aleph today was just a clarification of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that the Chachamim want us to minimize the amount of tircha that we do on Shabbos, and even with the mitzvah opportunity of hachnasas orchim or Talmud Torah,
Nevertheless, one cannot overexert themselves on Shabbos. And what that means to say is that if, let's say, we need to clear out space in order to make room, so there is a cap of how much you can clear out. The Mishnah says 4 or 5 boxes. What does the Mishnah mean by that? We had 2 approaches in the Gemara. One was Rav Chista, who said that the Mishnah was describing 2 different scenarios, as opposed to Shmuel, who says, no, the Mishnah means that basically you can clear out the room almost in total, with exception to you can't clear out to the end, because you don't want to leave the floor totally exposed. On top of that, we also debated in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that one is not allowed to make an otsar out of the house. So what does that mean? So this also was a debate between Rav Chista and Shmuel. Rav Chista said that our Mishnah subscribes to the Shita of Rav Yehuda, which means to say that if the grain or the straw was left in the storage house before Shabbos, so then it's muksa, and then you can't move it on Shabbos, even for these mitzvah opportunities. But the Yisra of muksa will override, will supersede these mitzvahs. As opposed to Shmuel says, no, our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who is much narrower in his definition of muksa. So according to Rabbi Shimon, one can move the straw and the grain, even though it was not touched before Shabbos, because our Mishnah subscribes to Rabbi Shimon. We then, on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, went through a number of follow-up questions. Notably, we went through what exactly, how much grain are we talking about that is stored there in order so that this is now considered storage. We said it's a lesach, it's a half a quart, it comes out to 15 saw. Another follow-up question that we dealt with is when the chachamim want us to reduce the amount of exertion, they want us taking less steps or they want us carrying less weight. The Gemara grappled with that question, did not come out with an absolute resolution, but it certainly sounds like from the Gemara's conclusion that they wanted us to minimize the number of steps that we take. Next, the next follow-up question of the Gemara is that the moving of 4 or 5 boxes, by the way, these series of questions seem to be more in line with Rav Chista, not with Shmuel, but anyway, these moving of these 4 or 5 boxes, is that in total, is that per capita? The Gemara says it's per capita. Next follow-up question, is that going to be moved by one person? Or is that going to be moved by each of the participants? The Gemara's conclusion is that it's going to be moved by each of the participants. That's basically part one of today's daf. Second part of today's daf is going to be a discussion of the significance of the mitzvot that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Notably, the Mishnah of Hachnasas Orchim and Talmud Torah. Hachnasas Orchim and Talmud Torah, first of all, are they comparable with one another? Or if Dimi went even one step further, in that Hachnasas Orchim is even greater than Talmud Torah. The Gemara debated that issue. In terms of the significance of these mitzvos, these are examples of mitzvos where not only are the principles of these mitzvos going to last into Olam Haba, but even the peros of these mitzvos go and affect us even in this world as well. And one of the things that were mentioned that also is incorporated in this idea is Dan Lekav Schus and the Amud Beis. We dealt with 3 stories that were clear demonstrations and illustrations of this example of being Dan Lekav Schus.